is the future of wrestling. You can call this the New World Order of Wrestling, brother.
You guys talk about being students of the game.
Yes.
I am the game, JR.
Yes.
There is nobody that eats, sleeps, or breathes this business more than me.
Once again, I did it all by my sweet little self. I knew it. I'm a winner.
And that's the butterfly.
Oh, yeah.
The Stone Cold said so.
You do not throw rocks at a man who's got a machine gun.
You are now listening to The Gerwick Report with Steve Gerwick and Frank D.
Episode 98 of the GRP. It is Thursday, April the 23rd, 2015. The GRP is the podcast that tells it like it is, and we're going to tell it like it is today in regards to the Stone Cold Steve Austin situation with WWE. All kinds of controversy over the Stone Cold Steve Austin merchandise. We're going to talk about that. Stephanie McMahon is going to do Y2J's podcast. Boy, I can hardly wait for that. Tough Enough is returning. Dave Bautista was asked about possibly returning to the whip. Eddie Gilbert's father is suing WWE. We'll get into that. Missy Hyatt was recently arrested. Boy, oh boy. Daniel Bryan was removed from the European tour. Taz had some very interesting comments about TNA, and I'm going to talk about what other websites finally reported that we reported at Gerwick.net. And we're going to get into some poll results as well. And as always, let me tag in my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Steve, how's it going, my man?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Copacetic. Can't complain.
In just a moment, we're going to talk about the Stone Cold Steve Austin situation. WWE has sent a cease and desist letter to ProWrestlingTees.com. And, of course, we know about them because we have a store at ProWrestlingTees.com. They can go to ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. Check out our merchandise. We have four great T-shirts. And, Frank, it's only $19.99 for a T-shirt.
Absolutely. $19.99 plus shipping and handling, Steve, for a T-shirt. And when you buy a T-shirt here, you support the Gerwick Report podcast and Gerwick.net. Check it out today, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. And speaking of the ProWrestlingTees.com Gerwick store, I want to send a special shout-out to two lovely ladies in the wrestling business, Katrina Lee Waters, better known as Katie Lee Burchill and Winter, and also Mary Elizabeth Runroe. Thank you very much for modeling off the GRP black and white T-shirts. We really, really appreciate that. And to see those photos of these two high-sex women, check out Facebook.com today and type in Gerwick Report Podcast. It is a closed group, but you can access to join, and I will approve you, and you can check it out today. Yeah, man, this big thing is happening here on the GRP. I mean, episode 98, Steve, we're almost 100. I mean, did you imagine when we did this podcast that we'd be up to 100 episodes?
It's pretty amazing. I'm looking forward to, you know, future podcasts as well. We are growing. As Frank says, you know, we're growing. We're more people subscribe to the YouTube page. More people are finding us on Facebook and joining the discussion. It is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing Katrina Lee Waters look great in the GRP T-shirt. Last night we had Mary Elizabeth Monroe, as you mentioned, looking outstanding in her GRP T-shirt, representing the GRP out in public, which we definitely do appreciate. So, you know, stay tuned for some bigger and better things here at the GRP as we continue to grow. And as always, if you enjoy today's podcast, if you enjoyed previous podcasts, if you enjoy what we do here, Frank D and myself put on an entertaining and tell it like it is type podcast, definitely tell a friend, go on Twitter, go on Facebook, let them know that you listen to the GRP and that it is a entertaining wrestling perspective on what's going on in this wacky world of professional wrestling. Always do appreciate the support that people give us here at the GRP. So if you do enjoy it, you know, definitely spread the word. That's the way we're going to grow as we continue to grow leaps and bounds. I want to talk about the Steve Austin situation, Frank. As we said, Pro Wrestling Tees has a store for just about every wrestler out there today.
Right.
Independent wrestler, former WWE, former TNA, ROH stars, New Japan. Pretty much if somebody is known in the wrestling business, they probably have a store or a podcast or a wrestling organization. They likely have a store at ProWrestlingTees.com. Of course, as you said, we have our store there, slash Gerwick, which you can check out. WWE and Steve Austin appear to have some tension, Frank. Seems to be growing. There was some frustration going back to WrestleMania 31. WWE kind of expected Stone Cold to be at WrestleMania 31. According to reports, they had a role for Steve Austin at the event, and of course he didn't show up. And then following that, they removed the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcast from the WWE Network. It was replaced by Chris Jericho's podcast. Steve Austin, in a public forum, went on to shoot down any speculation that there's growing tension between the two sides. I think he really sugarcoated the issues. But now we see that WWE Legal has gone after Pro Wrestling Tees, a cease and desist letter sent to them. From what I understand, Frank, some merchandise has been removed from that website. And I just think it's kind of like a domino effect, Frank. It's, we've got some problems. Now let's throw something else into the mix. Now it's the store we don't like. You lose your podcast. It's Y2J is now the poster boy for the podcast here on WWE Network. And it appears very overt to me, Frank, that there's really growing tensions between the two sides right now.
Yep. I figured that when Steve Austin was not at WrestleMania this year, I figured that when Steve Austin shot down the rumors that there was any tension between him and the Whip or him and Vince McMahon or him and Triple H or anybody, I said it right here on GRP that I thought Austin was full of it. And I thought Austin was covering up something else here. And it turned out to be the exact truth of what I thought all along, that there's actually some tension there between WWE and Steve Austin, to the point where, like Steve said, that WWE, you know, has singled out Steve Austin's Pro Wrestling Tees store. As of today, there's a lot of merchandise that was previously on his store that is not on his store right now. Also, on the WWE Shop Zone, they have some Steve Austin merchandise up there, but not as much as you would think for an icon like Stone Cold Steve Austin. And if we signal back to Austin's last appearance on WWE programming, which was the Triple H podcast, I think that it goes all the way back to when he asked Triple H about China Joni Lauer going into the Hall of Fame. I think that kind of ruffled a few feathers in WWE. They didn't like the hard questions being asked. So now they, you know, you go from megastar in Stone Cold Steve Austin doing podcasts to you got Chris Jericho now, who's going to toe the company line, who's going to pretty much, if he's going to deliver the podcast he did with John Cena with Stephanie McMahon and not really hit any of the issues, but talk about all the times he would call her a whore or something like that, I think that's going to be pretty much a going to sleep type situation there.
Now, personally, I thought after you did the interview with Vince McMahon, you did the interview with Triple H, the logical next choice was, to me, Stephanie. You said John Cena. That's what they did. They gave you John Cena in the third installment of these podcasts. But it's pretty evident now, Frank, now that they've gotten rid of the rattlesnake, is that these podcasts, which, as I said before in the last podcast, on our podcast, the GRP, the top three podcasts in WWE Network history, or top three shows, I should say, in WWE Network history are the Stone Cold Austin interview with Vince McMahon. Number two is the Triple H interview. And now number three was just the recently aired Cena and Y2J podcast. But Frank, now with Stephanie coming on, and what would be a pertinent question that people would want to know? We know the history with Triple H. Triple H used to be with China. We know they had a falling out. He ended up with Stephanie and China was kicked to the road. She was out of the company. One of the questions that people would want to know is, what is her history, or what does she really feel today about Joni Lauer? And as you said, because of what Steve Austin asked Triple H about China in the Hall of Fame, that's not going to be asked. I don't know how they could put Steve Austin in a situation where they say, you know, you're uncut, you're uncensored, you can ask whatever you want. Suddenly, if they ask about China, that's off limits. We're not going there. Forget that. Now we've got Stephanie coming on April the 30th. You know, Frank, he's not going to ask about China. And to me, if he doesn't ask about China, you know, what are they really going to talk about on this podcast?
You know, honestly, Steve, I have no interest in it, simply because I'm not a fan of Chris Jericho. I don't find Stephanie to be all that much of a polarizing character that's going to, I'm going to sit there and actually listen to what she has to say. I'm not interested in, to be honest with you. The best podcast Steve Austin did to this day, I would have to say, was with Vince McMahon. That was the one. You know, Triple H was okay, but Triple H, A lot of that was just because they wanted to talk about the developmental. I mean, it was a Steve Austin podcast on that one too, but it was it was kind of toned down from what it was previously with Vince McMahon. In retrospect,
the idea should be that Vince is on like maybe once a month or every other month to answer the questions that fans would have. I mean, they want people to pay the $9.99 for the subscription to the network. Well, give us what we really want. Have Vince come on and ask the questions. Why isn't this guy getting pushed? What happened to this guy? Why do you only have one developmental territory? Why don't you have multiple developmental territories? Why are we bringing back Tough Enough? Why am I watching Rock and Wrestling on the WWE Network, Frank? And that vault that you have in WWE, the library of all the hours of great WWE and WWF programming, why am I subjected to Rock and Wrestling for when you have the vast majority of shows that we could watch Shotgun Saturday night, we could watch all the primetime wrestlings, the WWF Superstars with Vince and Jesse, Wrestling Challenge, the shows we go through every time we talk about the vault, Frank? You know, why can't Vince come on and address these issues? Because, again, you know, we are being charged $9.99 for this service, and right now it's not delivering what fans really want
to
see.
Well, you know, I agree with that, but to be fair about it, the Rock and Wrestling has always been on the schedule since the network launch. You know, when they put out the original feelers for the network, it has always been on the schedule they were going to launch Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. So I assume that's why it's on there. I would love to see other programming on the network, but, you know, Steve, the bottom line is that, you know, as you stated there, we paid $9.99 a month for the network, and I'm just going to choose to opt out and not pay until they put on the content that I want to see. I'm sorry, but the pay-per-views just don't do it for me. The pay-per-view, I mean, if this was in 97, 98, 99, yeah, hell yeah, the pay-per-views would be doing it for me. But it's not. This is 2015, and the product is just piss poor right now, and I just have no interest in seeing the Chris Jericho podcast of 70. I have no interest in Extreme Rules. I can go watch other things on TV besides watch this crap that they're giving me. And if I don't want to watch it, that's the thing about it. That's the brilliant thing of how economics work. If I don't agree with what they're putting on the network, if I don't want to watch it, if I've watched every Nitro they have on here, which I have, I'm not going to pay the $9.99. And I'll come back when they put something on here that I actually want to see. And I'm sorry, but Attitude Era Raws, it's just not going to do it for me. I am so sick and tired of them pushing the Attitude Era. I mean, I understand. I grew up in the Attitude Era. I get it. Okay, I understand that was one of the most successful points, probably the most successful point in the history of the industry. I get that. But I don't even have it pushed down my throat every damn time I turn around. I mean, there was an era before the Attitude Era. You know, we had the New Generation Era. We had, you know, the Hulkamania Era. You know, we had the Ultimate Warrior Era. We had all these different eras that happened in the industry. And going back before that, we had the San Martino Era. You know, we had all these guys in WWF. You know, we had Jim Crockett Promotions. We had Mid-Atlantic. We had all this stuff going on. And all this stuff you have in the library, AWA, you know, World Class. You know, there's a lot of different things that should be on the WWE Network that are not on the network. And until they are, I'm just not going to pay for it.
And I'm in the same boat that Frank is. I somehow didn't cancel my subscription in time. So I've had the month of April, which, of course, for the month of April, for the new subscribers, they could subscribe to the network for free. And isn't it interesting, Frank, that for the month of April, they give you two Y2J podcasts and Extreme Rules, which, as you said, who cares about Extreme Rules? Who cares about these B pay-per-views? I'm looking at this card for Extreme Rules. There's nothing extreme about this show, Frank.
I mean, no. I mean, you bring Sheamus back as a hard-ass heel, you know, and pretty much just, you know, ruthless. And you put him in a gimmicky match like this, a Kiss My Arse match, which I guess a lot of people thought on the last podcast, they thought I was ribbing about that,
yeah.
Which I wasn't. I was being completely serious. But this is what they're presenting us at Extreme Rules, and I think that it sucks. I think that you can be putting Sheamus in a much better position in what they're doing. But I'm sure him and Ziggler are going to tear the house down. But still, I mean, it's too gimmicky, man.
People thought we were joking about the Kiss My Arse match. I wish we were kidding, Frank. This is extreme?
Yeah.
I mean, look at this card. We have Ambrose versus Luke Harper, Chicago Street Fight. We have Roman Reigns versus The Big Show, or The Big Slow, in the Last Man Standing match. Couldn't care less. Nikki Bella against Naomi. We were just talking about the Kiss My Arse match, which is Sheamus versus Dolph Ziggler. Daniel Bryan is scheduled to take on Bad News Barrett. for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. That match is not going to happen, which we'll talk about momentarily with Daniel Bryan. Cena versus Rusev in a Russian chain match. Rollins against Randy Orton. And I guess, Frank, the New Day is getting a little bit of a rub, a little bit of a push. They could actually win the penny belts because they are scheduled to take on Tyson Kidd and Cesaro for the WWE Tag Team Championships. But, Frank, this card, there's really nothing extreme about this card. And even if it's free or part of your subscription, it's just not worth my three-hour investment.
No, you know, the New Day is getting that push right now. And I mean right now as far as the month. But they're going to probably go in another direction after Extreme Rules. They need to really push, you know, New Day as heels. I mean, they're kind of like right now, I mean, they're still baby faces, in my opinion. They haven't really had that big heel turn yet. I mean, just because the crowd chants New Day sucks doesn't mean that they're heels yet. I think they're kind of playing a tweener role right now. But until they turn on full-fledged heels, it's just going to be the same shtick. But, yeah, I mean, this card looks bad. I mean, Roman Reigns versus Big Show, I don't want to see it. Ambrose versus Harper, you talk about two guys who have cooled off tremendously in those two guys. Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins for the championship cage match with Kane as the gatekeeper outside the cage. I mean, you can smell a screw job finish coming a mile away. So I have no interest in seeing it. But don't let our opinion stop anybody else from out there watching Extreme Rules. If you want to see Extreme Rules, more than happy, go watch it. You know, $9.99 on the WWE Network, and actually this month is for free. So check it out if you want to check it out. I just have no interest in seeing it. I probably will eventually check it out, but it'll probably be a couple of days.
Yeah, I might buzz through it when it's all over. Right. Not going to watch it live. I'm not going to go out of my way on a Sunday evening to watch the Extreme Rules. And I can already hear people out there saying, well, you guys aren't really wrestling fans, aren't you? You guys aren't really big WWE or WIP fans, or you guys are paying $9.99 and not going to watch the pay-per-view live?
Hey, I got paid, but here's the thing. I'm paying $9.99 simply because I signed up the morning of the Hall of Fame. Okay? So I signed up the morning of the Hall of Fame or the morning of WrestleMania. Either way it goes, that's why I'm paying for it. If I had known it was going to be for free, I wouldn't be complaining right now.
Well, they were going to give you WrestleMania for free. They waited until after WrestleMania to announce that April was for free.
Right.
We're to the point where WrestleMania is worth $9.99.
Yeah.
Or Royal Rumble is worth $9.99. Or SummerSlam is worth $9.99. And that's the market value now for these shows.
I wonder why.
One thing you're not going to see on Sunday is a curb stomp.
Right.
Because I guess, Frank, they don't want Seth Rollins to use that move anymore.
Yeah, they don't want the curb stomp. Now, you know, originally the reports were that the curb stomp was banned. And those have been updated since then by saying that the curb stomp isn't really banned. They just want him to do other things. So you won't see the curb stomp be as prevalent anymore in his matches, which I think sucks because I think when you look at Seth Rollins, you identify him with the curb stomp. Why take that away? Especially when he is the top heel in the company. He's the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Why take away the tools that gets him over? Everybody looks for the curb stomp. If there's any indication that this past Monday, what he did that looked like a face buster DDT type thing he did there, if that's what his finish is going to be, he needs to go back to the drawing board with that one.
And as I just was talking about with Extreme Rules, Daniel Bryan is scheduled for a match against Bad News Barrett for the IC Championship. He's not going to be working the show, Frank. He's probably not going to be working the May pay-per-view either. Reports are that he's going to be out maybe a month, 5 to 6 weeks. He was taken off the European tour. Supposedly he was hurt before the tour, and as a precautionary measure, they've decided not to send him on the tour, which is good from their perspective. Unfortunately, another injury for Daniel Bryan.
Right. I think that it's another setback for him. And to be honest with you, Steve, as we were talking about offline, Daniel Bryan is never going to be the same again physically. It's just he won't be. I mean, apparently he did rehab instead of a surgery for the injuries that he sustained. And I really feel bad for the guy. I mean, Daniel Bryan just cannot catch a damn break. And that's too bad. It really sucks.
Yeah, he worked so hard to get to the WWE, and as you said, just bad break after bad break after bad break.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. I mean, they could really use his star power in WWE, but it seems like every time he gets a little bit of momentum, he just gets sidetracked.
You know what? Honestly, even if this hadn't happened, they wouldn't be pushing him. They wouldn't be pushing him. They wouldn't be taking advantage of his star power at all, because they would have just relegated him to what he was on now. I mean, yeah, he's an intercontinental champion, but does the IC championship belt mean anything more than it did when Bryan won it at WrestleMania? Probably not. I mean, John Cena is a U.S. champion, but does that mean that the U.S. championship is all of a sudden I'm supposed to take the U.S. championship seriously? I don't.
And as I was just saying, Frank, he's not going to do Extreme Rules. He's not going to do, I guess the next pay-per-view is Payback. Do you believe, Frank, for the month of May, Payback is May 17, which essentially means there's a three-week gap between Extreme Rules and Payback, a three-week build to the next B pay-per-view. I can hardly wait.
And why are we having these pay-per-views like this every single month? I don't know. And are we really even calling these pay-per-views? They're three-hour Raws. Okay, that's all they are. They're an extension of Raw. It's that there's a different ring apron with Payback letters on it, and that's it. Because I'm guaranteeing you, at the show, it's going to be the Raw stage.
I couldn't believe when I looked at the dates, because the people were saying he's going to miss the next pay-per-view. I'm like, okay, when's... What is the exact date of the next pay-per-view? It's May 17, which is asinine. Three-week bill to the next pay-per-view.
That's what they do now. I mean, long gone are the days for the two-month build to the next show or something like that. You know, actually giving your stories time to develop. Gone are those days. Now it's just the hot shot booking. We got to get this done in a couple weeks so we can get to the next pay-per-view. And it's like, it's stupid, and they wonder why nobody's over.
Well, I mean, traditionally, the pay-per-view after WrestleMania is usually a lot of rematches. Now you only got a three-week build between Extreme Rules and the next pay-per-view. So what's rematches of the rematches for the next show, or
yep.
What?
Yep. Well,
that's just ridiculous. Ridiculous booking.
We'll probably see some type of a fresh matchup, quote-unquote, between Kane and Randy Orton after Kane cost Orton the match this Sunday. I'm already calling that one.
One show that is returning, we were talking about, you know, Rock and Wrestling is now on the WWE Network, returned after years of being in the vault. One show that is also returning is Tough Enough. They officially did the announcement, the press release. I saw Triple H made a video to, you know, pump up. I don't know, Frank, are you going to try out for Tough Enough?
You know what? I might send an audition tape, man, but I'm not going to say that I'm looking to get picked. I'm just doing it for fun. But I might send a tape.
I think we plugged this before, but the kayfabe news is a parody of what's really going on in today's wrestling. And they put out a story that Tough Enough returns to look for the next Daniel Puter, Jackie Gaeta, and Andy Levine. And you can also throw in Maven, because I think Maven is long gone from the business. In fact, last time I heard about Maven, I think he was on Home Shopping Network.
I've heard something else about Maven. Maybe it was like, I think Maven was actually working at some club as a bouncer or something like that.
So again, the question is, Frank, is with Tough Enough, and there's been some successes with Tough Enough, but generally the people that win Tough Enough don't necessarily translate well to being a WWE wrestler, superstar, diva. I don't know. I just have no high hopes for the return of Tough Enough, and honestly, I still want to see it.
Yeah, you know what? I enjoyed the season with Steve Austin, but if they're going into a direction with maybe rumored Chris Jericho as the host, or Chris Jericho is going to be one of the trainers, I have no interest in it, man. You know, the bottom line is that I felt in the last season of Tough Enough they picked Andy Levine over Luke Robinson. And I think that was a huge, huge mistake. Luke could be one of the big stars today in WWE. That John Henning and Johnny Nitro, John Morrison, he started off on Tough Enough as well, and people thought that he wasn't going to go anywhere, and he did. You know, he was successful. I think that Luke could have been one of the guys that had been successful as well. But you know what? Luke, I understand, is no longer in the wrestling business, which sucks. And Andy Levine, well, I didn't see anything in him. All I saw was a big goof, silent rage my ass, okay? You know, that's why I think it's up enough. I think it's a joke. I really think it's a joke at this point. I mean, and it shows in the last one that the last winner from 7-0, Andy Levine, was released a couple months after the show wrapped up and was never heard from again. And that was his second time in WWE's developmental system, if people out there didn't know that.
What, Nydia won one year. Nydia's out of the wrestling business. Their track record is not all that good with Tough Enough. And I don't know, Frank, to me it's just more WWE programming that you're supposed to watch. I mean, in addition to watching Raw and SmackDown and WWE Superstars, I mean, they have Total Divas. Now they want you to come back and watch another season of Tough Enough. It's just oversaturation. That's really the reason I really don't want to see it is I already get so much WWE programming as is, and then, of course, with the WWE Network, I just have no interest in this show.
Well, you know, the problem I have with it, and it ties into the podcast. If they have a problem with Steve Austin's hard questions to Triple H or Vince McMahon about the wrestling business, why would you then produce a show again that is exposing the rest of us? If you don't really want people to know the inner workings of the industry, even though we do, and even though you guys are the ones who expose the business, why did the show begin with?
M-O-N-E-Y.
Well, that's pretty much it, money.
Yeah.
And that's what, at the end of the day, that's all they're doing, is they're getting more money to do these shows. Okay, just like I'm pretty sure at one point, you know, at some point down the line, we're going to see the return of the Legends House, which I wouldn't mind seeing that. I actually enjoyed the first season of that.
I mean, it's the whole reason they're doing a third hour of Raw is money.
Yep. Even though Triple H has said he wishes he could go back to 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear about people backstage complain about the third hour, the production. You know, they complain about the third hour. It's hard enough to do a two-hour show, let alone a three-hour show. Obviously, the creative department has nothing to write for 3 hours, and yet we're supposed to watch, you know, Raw for 3 hours and then the SmackDown. It's just oversaturation of the product. You know, they were talking about this when they launched SmackDown. In fact, wasn't it that Vince Russo said, hey, I can't write more television. They're expecting you to write Raw, a really good Raw, week to week, and all of a sudden, now we have to write a really good SmackDown. Week to week. I mean, that's a lot. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of production. It's a lot of promos. It's a lot of writing. I don't think people really realize that, how much different it is to do, you know, only an extra hour. That's a lot of work for that extra hour. And I just don't think it's really worth it for WWE. And, of course, it is from a bottom line standpoint, which is great for the conference calls and the financial reports to say, you know, we have this amount of money coming in from USA Network for our television rights. We have Raw, and now we're going to have Tough Enough on the USA. So here's our television money for the year. And they can say it's grown 30% or whatever it is. But from a fan perspective, it's just more and more of content that's not very good right now. It just doesn't taste very good right now. In fact, when Bret Hart would say, you know, people watch wrestling even when wrestling doesn't taste very good, wrestling hasn't tasted very good in a long time.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, I go back to the old adage is that Vince keeps feeding you turds and we just keep going back for more.
And we keep eating them up.
And we keep eating them up.
Yeah.
So then Vince does the conference call and says, whoa, we have had incredible revenues because people out there have ordered from WWE Shop. They're buying the games. They're buying the network. And it's like all the damn things that we constantly complain about, yet we still buy them. Like, we'll complain about the network, but yet we'll still subscribe to the network. We'll complain about Shop Zone, and yet we'll still buy the merch. I don't know, man. It's kind of a hard dilemma because it's like borderline hypocritical in some ways. You know what I mean?
I agree with you. We don't like Raw and SmackDown, but yet we go to the house shows.
Exactly.
As you said, you buy the John Cena merchandise or the Randy Orton merchandise or whatever T-shirt you buy this week. It's amazing. We're hooked on wrestling, and yet we can't totally divorce ourselves from it because, you know, to me, since we did the Gruick Report hotline back in the day, we've been saying we just want wrestling to get better and be more entertaining. But as you said, as you continue to buy the network that you're not happy with, if you buy the video game that you don't really like, it's not as good as it has been in the past or whatever the reason may be. If you buy the merchandise, which is not as cool as it was back in the day. In fact, I saw a retro Randy Savage purple T-shirt at my Kmart. I couldn't believe it. There it was. I mean, I'm thinking, do they have a shirt today as cool as the Randy Savage T-shirt? Do they have a shirt that was cool as the Hot Rod shirt or the Hulkamania yellow shirt from back in the day? I don't think so. And yet we'd still buy the WWE merchandise. As Frank said, until you guys make a conceited effort to say, I'm done with WWE, I'm not watching their shows, I'm not helping their ratings, I'm not going to buy the video games, I'm not going to buy the merchandise, everything stays the same. Vince McMahon is status quo, everything is fine. Why change, right?
Well, I mean, it's never going to happen. I mean, people are not going to quit WWE cold turkey. It's just not going to happen. It is what it is.
I mean, people want
change. Well, I'm sorry, it's just never going to happen. I understand that. I know how it works. It's never going to happen.
No, I definitely agree with you. I mean, the one hope I think we used to have was Shane McMahon. And now, you see where Shane is in China, right? So.
Yeah.
We got Stephanie and Triple H. It'll be more of the same thing. It's just the way it is right now.
But in saying that, I will say this. There are other brands of wrestling out there. It's just not WWE. I mean, they have the Ring of Honor brand. You have New Japan. You got Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. You got lots of different organizations.
Lucha Underground.
Lucha Underground, yep. The dead brand, TNA, if you want to watch that. You know, you have lots of different, you know, options out there to watch wrestling, but WWE always has been and always will be the standard bearer in sports entertainment. And everything that happens in the industry of any merit is always going to be coming from WWE.
Yep. And has no competition anytime soon. In fact, we'll get into the dead brand here shortly, but a former world champion was asked about the possibility of returning to the whip, as Frank D has kind of coined that phrase. Was Dave Bautista, and we've talked about Dave Bautista on this podcast before. Do we ever see, you know, Dave Bautista coming back? And, of course, Dave Bautista's had some success now in the movies, and he was asked about, you know, will you come back to WWE? And essentially he said that he'd be open maybe to working non-televised events, which would be like house shows, and that essentially, Frank, he's not very happy with the product as we aren't with the product, and he's not happy with the storylines. In fact, he doesn't really want to be a part of these storylines. Possibly Dave Bautista would be interested in coming back and working house shows, but he's not nowhere near coming back on a regular basis to WWE.
Can you blame him?
No.
I mean, the product is worse than before he left. You know,
I agree.
I mean, it's just bad. You know, I mean, Bautista can't be Bautista. He's being shackled by PG. He's being shackled by bad creative. I mean, honestly, can somebody out there tell me when the last time creative was really good in WWF or WWE? I mean, Steve Austin complained about creative years ago. Remember when he had that big blow-off on that show, Bite This, years ago? When Steve Austin went on there and he was, you know, talking about creative is piss poor, and he just didn't like a lot of things that they were doing. So it's kind of the same. It's the same story in 2015 with Bautista saying, you know what, I would be more inclined to do house shows because, you know, when you do scripts or whatever, you're locked into the script, and he doesn't want to be locked into the script. He says because they're not really that good.
Isn't that amazing? Because it used to be back in the day that you'd want to work TVs and pay-per-views. You didn't want to work the house shows.
Right. Well, Bautista wants to work. Yep. Bautista wants. He just says he wants to entertain the fans. And he doesn't feel, and what he's saying is, he doesn't feel with the current way the product is and the current way the TV is being written, he can't entertain the fans that way, with that garbage.
That's amazing to me. It used to be back in the day is you just wanted to work television so that people see you. You wanted to work Raw and SmackDowns and Nitros and the pay-per-views, and you didn't want to do the house shows. And now it's the complete opposite where, you know, Y2J does the house shows. Now maybe Bautista could come back and do a big show here or a big show there where he can be a part of the show and go out there and entertain the fans. And, boy, things have really changed in this wrestling business, I will say.
Yeah, they
have. That speaks volumes.
Yep.
That the guy is willing to come back, but not on television. Just to work the house shows, because he does not want to be in these convoluted, pointless storylines.
Yep.
They go nowhere.
And a lot of that, too, is also could be that he's probably got people in his ear because, you know, Batista's had a very successful movie career right now. As a matter of fact, I think that one of his movies actually did better than The Rock's, what was it, Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that did better than The Rock's Hercules, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, Batista's a big Hollywood player. He's going to be in the James Bond film, I understand. And then he's going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy, the sequel. So I'm pretty sure Batista has feelers and people in his ear telling him, hey, listen, you don't need to really do this wrestling anymore, especially right now when it sucks.
And he knows it sucks.
Yeah.
But I think he said in the interview he's asked this question all the time, so he kind of feels for the WWE fans and his fans that are real wrestling fans, but there's just nothing to come back to.
And I don't blame him.
I mean, he did come back last year. Look what happened. They didn't exactly have stellar storylines for him at that time. They're not going to have stellar storylines for him to come back at this time either. So I don't blame him at all. I mean, once you have that success of Hollywood, what do you need WWE for?
Exactly. Nothing.
To go get it? To get injured in the ring?
Or to try to tell you what to do, try to run your career. That's pretty much why I call him the whip. They want to micromanage and run everything.
Don't say ass.
Exactly.
Don't
say ass. Don't say ass, but you can. But it's okay for 70 to say I own that son of a bitch.
But you can't say ass.
But you can't say ass on the air. We can't have the little kids hearing ass. But it's okay for 70 to say bitch.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. No more no middle finger. So when Randy does the middle finger spot, put the lower the camera so we can't see the middle fingers.
Hey, what's up? This is Frank D of the Gerwick Report Podcast and Gerwick.net. Hey, if you like what we do here on GRP and you think we are truly the podcast that tells it like it is, why not represent the GRP? Show us a little support today by going to ProWrestlingTees.com/GERWECK. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. 4 designs up right now, each $19.99 plus shipping and handling. But when you buy a t-shirt, you support Gerwick.net and you represent the podcast that tells it like it is. So check it out today. ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick, and thank you for your continued support of the Gerwick Report Podcast and Gerwick.net.
Frank, it seems like week to week we have another lawsuit against WWE.
Yeah.
And we talked about Jerry McDivitt saying that there's these sleazy lawyers out there that'll say, hey, did you work for WWE? Did you get injured somehow? Or were you somehow damaged by WWE? Let's file a lawsuit against WWE. Well, this week it's Tommy Gilbert. And Tommy Gilbert is the father of the late, great, hot stuff Eddie Gilbert. Apparently, Mr. Gilbert feels that Eddie's images are all over WWE programming, the WWE network, and he feels like he should be paid some royalties for that. To me, Frank, is unless you're actually specifically looking for some old WCW stuff. But, Frank, I'm not seeing Eddie Gilbert everywhere in WWE programming, so I don't really understand this lawsuit.
I don't get either. You can't blame them for trying, but it goes back to simply saying, you know what, let's go ahead and just pay the guy some royalties, pay him when he's old, and let's just get this out of the way before this gets bigger than what it is. I mean, WWE knows that they're supposed to be paying royalties. They don't pay royalties unless legal stuff happens where they have to. So I think it's kind of stupid, though. Honestly, on the fathers we have to say that Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert's images are all over WWE programming when they're not.
I think you have to go out of your way to find them, don't you?
It's kind of like saying, oh, okay, well, let's see. Bryan Adams' family can say, well, Bryan's images are all over the WWE programming. Where? They're not. So that's the same thing. So, I mean, you know, if the guy feels that he's owed something and WWE wants to settle, to go right there. But as far as I'm concerned, I think that WWE owns the rights and they own the video. That's their footage. They can do whatever they want with it. And they can, I guess in retrospect, they can pay whoever they want. And that's how they do business.
In fact, I think it was Sonny Ono on our discussion group said, you know, basically you go there and you sign that, you know, whatever you do here is filmed as part of their property.
Right.
They own that footage.
But I guess in this situation, since, you know, Eddie Gilbert, his images are on different promotions like WCCW or WCW or ECW, that's where the problem comes into play, because, you know, there wasn't any release form signed for his footage to be shown on WWE TV. So WWE, you know, as we all know, WWE has bought those video libraries. So when you buy those video libraries, it comes certain agreements that have to be signed, because those agreements that were signed previously are null and void.
Well, that would open up a can of Pandora then for everybody.
Well, I think it would be, but a lot of people are not smart enough to even do anything about it, because they just don't have the resources they do. See, Vince McMahon has unlimited resources legally to fight all this stuff if he wants to fight. So that's,
and he does.
And exactly. So that's where the problems come into play, is that a lot of people out here probably don't have the money to go up against the Whip and go up against Jerry McDivitt and the WWE's legal team. They'd like to send the letters to icons like Steve Austin over T-shirts. After this guy single-handedly, in my opinion, helped save the WWF from extinction. You know?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
It is.
It really is. I can understand what Tommy Gilbert is saying. I just don't think he has a legal leg to stand on.
No, he really doesn't. He doesn't at all. He doesn't. The only thing I can say with this situation is that, like I said, it was previous agreement signed in previous organizations, but now WWE is the owner of those assets. So maybe then he can say, okay, well, my son never signed an agreement with World Wrestling Entertainment, so he was deceased. And I'm pretty sure nobody ever thought back in the day, you know, when all this was going down, I'm pretty sure nobody thought that WWE today would be the owner of all these different video libraries and different companies. Nobody ever foresaw that happening.
Exactly. It's just like a lot of these shows you see in syndication, the actors don't get any money for it.
Yeah.
Like Good Times or Sanford and Son. A lot of the actors that appeared in these shows, they didn't get anything for the syndication. I mean, they were the stars of the show. They were paid for acting on the show, but once the show had a new life in syndication or a different network, they didn't get anything for it.
Right.
I mean, nowadays, usually in a new show, there is something about syndication in your contract, but back in the day, there was nothing.
Yeah.
So when Eddie Gilbert was in UWF, Bill Watts didn't pay people for royalties in the future.
No.
You just said, I pay you to be a part of the TV show. Here's your money. And again, he couldn't envision there's going to be a WWE network someday where all these libraries are going to be part of the network. I mean, you worked that show and you got paid and you went home. That's it.
Right.
You know? So again, I don't really see this lawsuit going anywhere. If you could get royalties for being a part of a library that Vince acquires, that would open up the Pandora for everybody to come forward and say, I never signed a waiver. I never signed permission. But somehow I think this one's going to get thrown out, unfortunately, for Tommy Gilbert and his estate that he represents, Eddie Gilbert. Eddie Gilbert was married to Missy Hyatt back in the UWF days, Mid-South, Bill Watts era. Missy Hyatt was arrested on March 26th in Tallahassee, Florida for grand theft. Frank, we don't know we really have no details on this other than that we saw her mugshot posted on all the websites, but... I don't know. Are you surprised that Missy Hyatt got in a little trouble here?
I'm really surprised that Missy Hyatt hasn't been in trouble before this, to be honest with you. She's been kind of, you know, out of the loop for a while, and she's had, you know, her history of issues. So I'm not surprised by anything. Honestly, Steve, nothing surprises me anymore when it comes to
yeah.
people in the professional wrestling sports entertainment business. Nothing surprises me. At all.
Kind of in any business anymore.
Yeah, really. It doesn't.
Anything entertainment, I mean, nothing surprises you anymore.
No, it doesn't. So I'm not at all surprised that she's in some type of a trouble here. I think it's really sad that people who, you know, at one point meant so much and at one point were so successful have resorted to this type of behavior. And I think that it's too bad.
Well, let's talk about the Dead Brand. Talked a lot about Dead Brand, TNA Wrestling. Last couple podcasts, we, of course, broke the story that TNA once again was falling behind in payments to the wrestlers and the production staff. And it's interesting to me, Frank, I'm sitting there last week, I think it was on a Friday, and all these websites are posting that breaking news, TNA is also behind in payment to the production staff. And I'm thinking, I reported that on Gerwig.net. I know Frank D. and myself have talked about that in the GRP. So 11 days after I reported that TNA was behind in payment to wrestlers and production people. Suddenly, 11 days later, breaking news, TNA is behind in payment to production staff.
Yeah, that's pretty much where it goes on, that we here on the GRP and Gehrig.net, we reported the story first. And then everybody out there wants to now jump on the bandwagon. That's all that is, Steve, jump on the bandwagon. You should actually feel flattered that people just, you know, jumped on the bandwagon, but too bad they jumped on it a week later.
Yeah, I see some sites credit this to Brian Fritz. Sorry, Brian, but we had that on April the 6th,
right,
about TNA falling behind it. And in fact, you can go on the archives at Gehrig.net and find it. It's there.
Exactly.
So,
and also on YouTube.com/Gehrig Report Podcast. Yeah, we actually had reported the story, and we have the recording that we recorded the story, and we got it from people that we know inside the TNA locker room that actually reported the story to Gehrig.net. So, yeah. All the rest of these other websites out here who think that they got the gold and think that they actually came upon something. You really actually didn't. It was already said and done.
And now I guess the follow-up is some of the wrestlers have been paid. Some of the wrestlers up to 70 days late in payment for working, say, the January UK tour. Some of them have finally been paid. Yet the production people are the ones that are still not being paid, or some of them have been paid $1,000 less than what they should have been paid. The TNA still continues to be behind in payment to not only wrestlers but production staff. I know probably people will say, you know, you got to take care of your wrestlers first, but you know, the production people, they travel, they have payments, they have families, they have mortgages too. And Frank, how does a company like TNA, now part of, you know, Discovery, and that's supposed to be a big network like this, and now Discovery's supposedly taken over with more in charge of, you know, operations with TNA. How does a company like this, months after debuting on Discovery, how are they still months behind in payment to TNA employees?
I guess, Steve, you know, nothing ever changes at TNA. I mean, they were having the same issues back during the Spike TV era. Remember that? Where we hear all the times about people not getting paid. And it's like, you know, it's cool to take care of your wrestlers and take care of the talent, but you also have to take care of the production people, because without the production people, there is no show. There has to be people
That's
there
right.
to set up the cameras. There has to be people there to set up the show, set the ring up, you know, make sure everything is taken care of. These are the ones that are actually the lifehood of the show. These are the people that, you know, the Ultimate Warrior, God rest his soul, he was talking about in this Hall of Fame speech, the people behind the scenes that work in production. These are the people that make the show possible. So for TNA not to be paying them is, you know, it just shows. Are we really actually surprised? I'm not surprised at all that they're not paying their talent on time. I'm not surprised at all that they're not paying their production people on time. I mean, Panda Energy is the parent company of TNA Entertainment, if you want to call it that. And I would think that everybody at Panda Energy is getting paid, so how come the people at TNA are not getting paid properly?
And I saw some people defend TNA. All I can say is try to go 70 days without payment and see how you're doing.
Exactly.
I mean, your monthly bills come, your television bill comes, your heating bill comes, your mortgage, your insurance, all you have to pay for groceries during the month. Try to go 30 days without payment and see how you're doing.
You know, and it's kind of funny because there was I'm not going to mention this person by name because I'm not going to give any publicity, but there was a wrestler the other day, Steve, and she basically had some very disparaging remarks, you know, to say to people out there who talk crap about TNA. And basically, you know, we should all just shut up if we're not going to, you know, support the company. The thing about it is that, sweetheart, people like Frank D have supported TNA. We just don't currently like the situation going on there. And it's kind of stupid that she would come out and comment, well, we're up here actually defending the wrestlers on this, saying that the wrestlers should be getting paid, saying that there shouldn't be anything as far as being behind on payment when you've already wrestled your ass off. So when she thinks that people are out here talking crap about TNA, you think that people out here are just riding your organization. We're really not. We're actually coming up here and saying that you need to be paid. So you might want to just, you know, STFU. Okay? That's all I'm going to say about that.
We're not going to kiss anybody's ass on this
show. I don't have to kiss anybody's ass. That's the bottom line to here. I'm not getting paid to come up here and do the podcast. I do it because I want to do it, just like Steve does because Steve wants to do it. We're not getting paid to do the podcast. We do promos for the T-shirts, whatever, and say, hey, buy a T-shirt or whatever. That's cool if you do, and if you don't, it's not going to hurt us either way. But the bottom line of it is that we're up here defending the business is what we're doing. We're up here defending the wrestlers in TNA who might not want to stick up for themselves and tell like it is. That's what we do here on GRP. So I don't understand where this whole thing came up with this woman talking about, you know, if you're not going to support the company, you know, you just shut up. And, you know, she's never, you know, she hasn't, you know, never gotten paid or whatever. And
what has she been there, 5 minutes?
Yeah, basically a cup of coffee. And she's one of the worst female wrestlers they had there.
I mean, she's not been there when they've missed payments before.
Exactly.
Now, you miss payments to you 3 or 4 times, and then you see how if you're going to defend the company.
Exactly. Because, you know, I mean, wrestlers are real people just like you and me. They have bills and responsibilities like you and me. So they should be paid properly. They should be paid on time. There is no – listen, the gas company, the light company, the phone company – your car note, your insurance, your mortgage, your rent, whatever. They ain't going to listen to any excuses about, well, TNA didn't pay me.
Checks in the mail.
No, they're going to cut your shit off is what they're going to do. They're going to give you a 3-day notice to evict or give you a 3-day notice to pay or quit, okay? And then you're going to have the sheriffs knocking at your door throwing your ass out. We'll give you a few minutes to get some of your belongings so you get the hell out of here. That's what's going to happen. If TNA doesn't start paying their talent, and they need to pay their talent.
Or there goes your TV and your internet and your heat.
Exactly.
Goodbye.
Exactly.
There goes your car. There goes your insurance on your car. There goes the insurance on your house.
So while people
there goes
here,
your mortgage.
While people
yeah.
here are defending TNA and defending the practices of the dead brand, while you're defending the organization, why don't you stop thinking about the wrestling aspect of it for a moment and start thinking about the real-life people behind the wrestler? The real-life people who have families, they have to take care of, they have to feed, okay, and pay their bills. You can't do that if you're not getting paid. And I mean, there's some damn TNA mark out there who's going to say that we're up here talking shit about TNA and this and that. We're not talking shit about TNA. We're telling it like it is. That's what we do here. We tell it like it is. It just really irritates me when people, you know, they get so caught up, Steve, in this wrestling soap opera in the fairy tale that they don't take the chance to actually think about the people that are on TV that's giving them entertainment. They don't think about that. So
you know what's funny too is I don't hear ROH falling behind in payment.
Nope.
And they're essentially for years were out of pocket Kerry Silken, and he paid his talent.
Yep.
And you could say, well, he was a big money mark. Well, he paid his talent. I mean, you may have had a disagreement with him over pay and how much I should be paid, but he paid the talent. Ring of Honor now is owned by a television network. They pay their talent. I'm not saying Ring of Honor's never missed a payment. Don't get me wrong. But we've heard the history of TNA over and over now missing payments. And now it's not only they're not paying the talent, they don't pay the production. I mean, I got the story that the wrestlers were so upset if they didn't get paid, they were going to sit out the next television taping. Isn't it interesting now? Suddenly they get paid. Well, what if the production people say, you know, what's it, May 8th, the next TV show? What if we don't show up?
Yep.
Well, good luck with your television show then. As Frank D. said, if you don't have your production guys there, you don't have a TV show.
Yep.
And just like if you don't have the wrestlers, you don't have a TV show either. It's good that they're finally paying these guys, but Frank, I mean, if the company was doing well, how do they fall behind in payment? As you said, they're owned by Panda Energy. Panda Energy has some money. The Carters have some money. Yet, they can't pay the talent? A lot of the talent's not making a lot of money in the company to begin with.
Exactly.
There's no pay-per-view bonuses for these guys.
Nope.
There's no merchandise bonus for these guys.
There's no video game check.
No. Why can't they pay these people? Could it be they're not making any money?
Doesn't matter. You signed a contract.
You got a contract. That's right.
You signed a contract, and it doesn't matter if they're making any money or not. Bottom line is that you pay the talent. That's all it is. You pay the talent. There's nothing more we can say about it. Just do the right thing, TNA, and pay the production people. Pay your wrestlers on time.
If I hire somebody to build me a shed, and I sign a contract, and he builds the shed, and I say, and I lose my job, and I say, well, you know what? Sorry about that. I have no income right now. I lost my job. No, the contractor gets paid.
Yep.
He doesn't care that you're not getting paid inside. You're getting paid at your job. You signed a contract that said, hey, I'm paying you X amount of dollars for this shed.
Yep.
Same thing with these wrestlers. I'm paid X amount for every show that I do.
Yep.
And now you're not paying me. In fact, I guess what Taz actually, I think, confirmed the report so that he was falling behind in payment as well. In fact, Taz went on to say that he had some, I guess he had some issues with Josh Matthews, of course, who took over as the lead voice of TNA Wrestling when they moved over from Spike to Destination America. But Taz himself, I think, went forward, Frank, and said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to single out one specific reason, but, you know, I wasn't getting paid either.
Right. Well, you know, we all knew that already. So it's not anything like it was breaking news, you know. We knew that. And like I said on previous edition of the GRP, episode 97, it's not a big loss. You know, it's time for somebody else now to step up to the plate and then and take Taz's spot and do a better job than Taz is doing. Because I thought Taz absolutely sucked. I mean, you know, I understand, Steve, that somebody ever said that we should invite Taz on the GRP and have him talk about it because of our comments about Taz and about his work. I wouldn't give Taz the privilege of coming on the GRP and talking about anything. I'm just not a fan. You know, there's nothing that he's going to tell me that's going to convince me otherwise. You know, I've always heard the guy was, you know, was a prick to people and just thought that this, you know, his shit didn't stink or something. So I'm just not a fan. So, I mean, it's really good rinse and bad rubbish. That's more money opening up right there that you were paying Taz you can now pay some of the wrestlers. You can pay the production people with. That's just how I feel about it. It's not a big loss. Taz's best work was years ago in WWE when he was with Michael Cole on SmackDown. That's when he was at his best. And he's been very stagnant in TNA. And in my opinion, TNA just thought that they got a guy from WWE. That's what they always do. They'll take anybody from the whip and try to put them on their TV and try to move them to that level. And it's just, it was never going to work.
We got some poll results on Taz in just one moment. But I want to also mention the one guy I think you mentioned before about, you know, being a kind of a TNA original that you miss being a part of the show was the Amazing Red.
Yeah.
And the Amazing Red on his Twitter was asked, actually, I shouldn't say he was asked. He was told, hey, why don't you go back to TNA? And his simple response was, quote, I don't want to.
Well, there you go.
Who would want to go back to a company where you're not even sure if you're going to get paid or not?
Well, it's not even, it's like getting paid is one thing. And then on top of that, there's also, you know, what are they going to do with me creatively? I mean, I've already been here a couple of times already, and they've already pretty much dropped the ball with me. I mean, the X Division means nothing now. So what can they do with me?
True.
I understand Amazing Red's opinion on TNA and going back there. I completely understand where he's coming from because it's not like he's going to be the main guy there.
Totally agree there.
Are you enjoying this edition of the Gruick Report podcast?
Give me a hell yeah! I said, give me a hell yeah!
Did you know that every edition of the Gruick Report podcast, the GRP, is archived at www.gerweck.net?
Really? Really?
Really?
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
The Gruick Report podcast has interviewed some of the biggest stars in the wrestling business.
Hi, I'm Eric Bischoff.
This is the King of the Mountain, Jeff Jarrett.
Stevie Richards,
former WWE superstar Ricardo Rodriguez.
Teddy Long.
Ron Simmons, a.k.a. Baruch.
Christopher Daniels.
This is Frankie Kazarian.
The Honky Tonk Man, the greatest intercontinental heavyweight champion of all time.
Matt Hardy.
Rob Van Dam.
Paul London.
Ted DiBiase, the Billion Dollar Man. You remember me?
Terry Reynolds, and you are listening to the Gerwick Report podcast with Steve Gerwick and Frank D. I don't miss it, neither should you.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Something about we were going to mention in the last podcast, Frank, either we ran out of time or we just kind of forgot about, was something that kind of irritated me when I saw reports. WWE is going to make a concise effort to limit the length of the Hall of Fame induction ceremony. This year, it was 4 hours. They want to get it down to 3 hours. Now, reports after the Jim Ross blog was that those were spot on. That blog was exactly their thoughts. They had some opinions about some of the speeches we've heard about. We talked about Medusa's speech, Larry Zbyszko's speech, talking about wrestling, and even Kevin Nash's comments as well, or the strap that HBK said. But apparently, Frank, they just didn't like the length of the Hall of Fame ceremony. And I had no problems watching the four-hour show. I mean, this is like memory lane for me. When these guys go in and they're talking about their AWA days or their WCW days, or Larry Zbyszko's talking about finding Bruno Sammartino's address and then going and bugging him, and eventually he takes him under his wing. I love those kind of stories. I don't want WWE to say, hey, Larry Zbyszko, you have 6 minutes up there on stage. You know, get it over with. We saw Lanny Poffo say, you know, I'm on a curfew, which means he couldn't talk as long as he wanted to talk. I really don't like that WWE is going to tell certain talents that, you know, you're not the main show here tonight, and you only have this amount of time. WWE's Hall of Fame ceremony is shown on WWE Network, which I'm charged $9.99 to see. Why is it that you're going to say, well, we don't want it to be a four-hour show. We only want it to be a three-hour show. So the thought would be, from my perspective, is either you eliminate somebody's induction. Maybe you're inducting too many people during that particular year. Or as what Frank told me offline, is probably the better suggestion. I think this year it was 8 p.m. Eastern was when the Hall of Fame ceremony started. If people are going to go 4 hours, or we're going to talk for 4 hours, started at 7 p.m. Eastern. We don't need the red carpet show they had this year. But, Frank, I really don't like the idea of WWE saying to the legends, the Hall of Fame inductees of that year, is you don't have as much time as you budgeted for, and that we're going to limit your speech this year.
Well, I mean, it's stupid. It's like, okay, people come to the Hall of Fame to hear the stories, to hear about all the things that these people have gone through throughout their time in the industry, whether it be AWA, WCW, you know, whatever the situation may be. And WWE should, you know, respect that. I mean, it's one night only. Let's get it done. I mean, the red carpet could be dismissed. We don't need a damn red carpet show. It's dumb in the first place, okay? You're a red carpet inside the building, and then they go sit at their seats. It's completely asinine to me, so I'm not at all a fan of this either. I think that everybody should have a time to say what's in their mind, because who's to say that they're going to get that opportunity to go up there on that podium and say this again? You only get one time to do it right, so that's the time to do it.
Exactly. So why limit? You own the network, WWE. Vince owns the WWE Network. Who cares if it goes 5 hours long? The only people complaining is Kevin Dunn.
He's the only one that's complaining.
This really irritated me as a fan of the guys being inducted, and you know, I've grown up watching these people. I grew up watching Larry Zbyszko. Now, if Larry would be inducted next year, they'd say, hey, Larry, how long is your speech? Let's cut that down about 30%. I mean, Larry did it on the fly. He had speech notes. He supposedly left in a cab, and he goes up there and just wings it and has a great speech. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to say, Larry, how about 5 minutes up there? Is that good enough for you? And here's a guy who has been in the AWA and the WCW, was there in the Monday Night Wars, the guy standing up for the WCW against the NWO, had this great story of being trained by his hero, Bruno Sammartino. Now we're going to cut that speech down.
Yeah, that was stupid, man. It made no sense to me at all. And it goes back to also when they did the same thing to Mr. T. You know, they cut his speech, you know, when he was up there talking about, hey, listen, everybody can make fun of Mr. T, whatever, but the man, you know, loved and appreciated his mother. What's wrong with that?
That was very disrespectful. Guys, in the middle of his speech, what did they do? They just started playing music, and he was done.
I'm sorry, but, well, Kane came on and told him that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you know, Kane came out and told him that, you know, the time was up. I mean, and then they sent Kane up to do it. I mean, how shitty did he feel?
So probably in the future, there's going to be a clock that you'll see if you're on the podium, and your time is going to be counting down.
Yeah, that's stupid.
And when your time is up, you're done. Goodbye.
That's stupid.
This is ridiculous. This really irritates me.
Yeah.
I mean, this is for us, the wrestling fans out there. It's for the people being inducted as well, but it's for the fans too.
Yeah, and that's the reason why, you know, it's everything that's for the fans. They tweak it and it's not good and they change it.
Like Randy Savage, we waited how long for Randy Savage to get in the Hall of Fame? And now Lanny's up there and he's like, well, I got to cut this short. I mean, we saw it this year because this year's ceremony supposedly went too long for their liking. So Lanny's up there. Hey, Lanny, you know, cut it. We got to go. We got to get Arnold Schwarzenegger out. Okay. But now in the future, Frank, 3 hours. So, you know, we were talking about this offline, and one of the things that you brought up was a good point, is they probably want the wrestlers to get home at a certain time or back to their hotel rooms the night before WrestleMania to rest up. So they say, you know, 11 o'clock Eastern, we want them back in their hotel rooms or whatever it is. But again, if they would start the ceremony at 7 o'clock, they wouldn't have to have these restrictions on time. And my point is that this is on the network anyways. They don't have to worry about USA Network saying, well, we only want 2 hours or we only want 3 hours. I mean, what do they do? Give them a one-hour condensed version where they just have the couple of top stars being inducted as part of that show? But you own the network. You can do whatever you want on your network. You could go beyond the four-hour window or the three-hour window or whatever window you want to set for it. Again, we're paying $9.99, and now I'm going to be watching condensed versions of these speeches. That can you imagine this year Medusa being cut down?
Yeah,
she could talk about her stories, or she didn't have enough time to take the belt out of the trash can. Although I guess that spot was they planned that they wanted Medusa to take the title out of the trash can.
Right, they wanted her to take the title out of the trash can, which was actually a cool thing. And Eric Bischoff's book, that was cool. And JR's barbecue sauce, that was cool. You know, I mean, everything about it. You know, I have to say, though, Steve, honestly, one of the worst Hall of Fame speeches I ever saw was that boring shit that Lita did a couple years ago.
Well, Lita was never charismatic to begin with.
Yeah, that was just bad. And Trish Stratus's introduction for her was not very good either.
Point is that in the future, these speeches are going to be reduced.
That's pretty much the point, yeah. They're going to be reduced, and it's going to be a watered-down Hall of Fame of a watered-down Hall of Fame.
Yes, when you put it that way, Frank, why do I care?
Exactly.
I did a rant several podcasts ago. Why should I even care about the Hall of Fame?
Right.
They do what they want. The people in the Hall of Fame are people that Vince won in the Hall of Fame. But I'm just so frustrated that this is the one thing we get as fans is to have these guys go on stage, because they're not on. Larry Zbyszko is probably never going to be on WWE television again.
No, he probably
won't.
This
is his chance to go out there and say what he wanted to say. But in the future, he's going to be, he'd be censored now. So whoever the Hall of Fame candidates are next year, or inductees, I guess plan on a few cue cards, and that's going to be it for you.
Yep, pretty much.
Move on.
Yep, we have to go to something else, and something else, and something else.
Here's your ring, and get the hell out.
Yeah, here's your ring. And by the way, we're going to sign you guys to a legal agreement so you can't sell that ring. That's going to be coming up soon, too, watch. Due to the fact that Paul Bearer's son sold his ring, and Abdullah the Butcher is selling his ring, which I don't know why anybody would want anything Abdullah the Butcher touches.
Especially go to his restaurant.
Exactly.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. I am the infamous Catalina Lee Waters, here to tell you that for all your wrestling news, rumors, and gossip, you need to go to Gerwick.net.
Today's edition of the Gerwick Report Podcast is brought to you by Gerwick.net, wrestling news since 1997. Check it out today, www.gerwick.net.
We've got a couple of poll results from Gerwick.net. I want to encourage everybody right now, go to Gerwick.net, and our current poll that we just added is, due to Naomi's heel turn, should WWE split up the Usos?
Definitely. She's a heel. that needs new music. I mean, do you know, see, that they still have her coming out to that damn Somebody Call My Mama song? That was
really?
Yep, they got her.
Wow.
They got her coming out to that, and it's like, you know, this goes back to when we were talking about music with Sheamus last week. You know, talking about Sheamus needs new music. I think Sheamus needs a whole new damn song, because this song he has now just doesn't do it for me. He needs something that's real heelish and badass. You know, once again, Jake the Snake Roberts, you know, Trust Me, back in the day, that was a cool heel song. Naomi needs a song that really defines who she is. And I have to tell you, Steve, I don't know if you've seen the videos lately or not, but there's been one woman who's been working her ass off to get better in the ring, and that's Eva Marie.
Because she's training with Brian Kendrick.
Yes, I mean, she's impressed me with some of the stuff they were in there doing.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's one of those ones I think had came in with a certain stigma about her that, you know, you're just a bimbo. You don't know anything about this business. You don't have any respect for this industry. You don't know where we've come from to get where we are. You're just somebody here who's using this as a stepping stone to get somewhere else. And I think, you know, right now, I mean, all the stuff that I saw her doing with Brian Kendrick, she can get dirty when she wants to.
Well, that's good to hear.
But she ain't no Sasha Banks. She was right there, just like that.
Well, so Sasha was trained.
Sasha was trained. Sasha is one of the best divas they have. Hey, listen, the hell with AJ. All right, Sasha Banks is the future.
Well, speaking of AJ, we did run the poll at Gerwick.net, and it's something we discussed here on the podcast. Should AJ Lee be inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame? 61% said no. 39% said yes. Clear majority say no. In fact, we had Big Vito actually chime in on our Gerwick Report podcast page on Facebook. And essentially he says, how can somebody that's not been in the business 20 years be up for induction? She's only been in a short time. She's very good, but yet she's got a lot of years to be in this business. And longevity definitely means something in this business. The reason you stick around in this business is you're over and people want to see you, and people want to pay to continue to see you wrestle. And I have to agree, Frank, you know, being 28 and only been in this business for, what, 6-7 years, whatever it is for AJ Lee, doesn't equate to a Hall of Fame career.
No, it doesn't, not at all. And she's got to put some more time in. And listen, we all know the situation of why she left the business. We're not stupid. You know, it all goes back to her loyalty to CM Punk, and I understand that. I respect that. You know, she left because of her husband. I get that. But is she Hall of Fame? Not at all. That's like me saying, oh, Emma is Hall of Fame worthy, or Paige is Hall of Fame worthy. That'd be a lie.
It's very interesting with AJ Lee is that she's a woman. She's a high-profile woman in the business. There's no place for her to go.
No.
She's not going to go to TNA. May not even get paid in TNA. Ring of Honor doesn't really do a lot with women. I mean, there's the Shimmers, there's the Shines, but you're not going to make a lot of money with these shows. There's just no really place to go for women right now. So
I think she's just going to stick it all. I think she's going to just stick with Punk. Whatever Punk does is what she's going to, you know, just toe on the line.
I mean, a lot of times when you see them released is they go work in indies for a while with the hope of getting back to WWE, but she doesn't want to go back to WWE. So she's in a unique situation that I guess essentially her career is done. Unless something drastically changes.
I think it's done for the time being, absolutely. I think she's just going to sit at home and, like I said, just concentrate on CM Punk and, you know, his fight career and all that. And when, you know, when he gets his ass whooped a couple of times and he comes running back to pro wrestling, that's when she'll come back.
And she'll probably get some royalties checks from WWE for the stuff she's done.
Yep, she'll get royalty checks and, you know, Z-packs and everything else.
And the royalty checks hopefully won't bounce.
Oh, I don't think so. That's the thing about it. I've never heard of a check bouncing from the whip.
And what, you never heard of a check worth, what was the check that Paul London got that he was talking about here on the podcast? Like $10 or something ridiculous?
Something like that, but if you want to know how much Paul London's royalty check was, go over right now to youtube.com/Gerwick Report Podcast. Paul London interviews up in 3 different parts, so you can check that out.
Yeah, he came up with, you were talking about how some of these royalties checks were so small. He revealed the size of one of his royalty checks.
Yeah, you know, we should have Don West come on here and talk about TNA royalty checks. He'd be a good one.
You've got to be kidding me!
Yeah, he'd be a good one. I'd like one of those. I'd like one of those brown bag specials too. If they have any of those left,
you know, maybe Don could come on and plug our Pro Wrestling Tees a store, and we could sell some GRP shirts.
Don West is incredible, man. I like Don West.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I wish I could have saw more of heel Don West in TNA. But, that's what happens when they actually have good things going on, they usually kill them off pretty quick.
What did he do? He went to become like in hockey or something, wasn't it?
Right.
Don West?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does merchandise or something for a hockey team or something.
Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy. He gave up his dream of being in pro wrestling. But Don West is another guy who had been in TNA since the beginning. Okay, people say the friend DIA. Listen, I call him a dead brand, but I know my history of a dead brand. Okay, I mean the first the three announcers there, the first show, Mike Sinead, Ed Ferraro with Dreads, and then Don West. Yeah, I go way back.
Frank knows his history.
Yeah, I go way back to the NWA TNA days. I bet you like a lot of these TNA marks out there that think that, you know, we just completely shit on TNA all the time. I bet you didn't know that on the first episode of that of TNA, NWA TNA, the very first pay-per-view, I bet you didn't know that the ring hadn't broken and the Harris brothers had to fix the ring before the show started. I bet you didn't know that, did you?
FYI, did you know?
Didn't know that. So TNA needs to put up these things like WWE does about did you know. Well, let's put up all the did you know facts of TNA. Hey, we used to have a faction in TNA with Jeff Jarrett, Kevin Nash, and Scott Hall, the Kings of Wrestling. Did you know that? Did you know Randy Savage's one of his last pay-per-view appearances ever was in TNA?
Did you know that AJ Styles and Jerry Lynn had a short-lived tag team in TNA?
Did you know? Yeah. Did you know that Sean Waltman competed in TNA under the moniker Six-Pac? Yeah. See, I know my stuff. Does anybody remember the New Church, you know, with Father James Mitchell?
Did you know that Lollipop showed her tea on one of the TNA shows?
Huh. Well, remember, hey, does anybody out there watching the TNA shows, does anybody remember Athena from the old Nashville days?
I do.
Yeah. Does anybody remember Sports Entertainment Extreme? Does anybody remember those days? Yeah, see, I remember all that shit.
We also... Another poll here at GirlWake.net. This is something that a poll actually Frank D. suggested. Who will face Seth Rollins at SummerSlam? Assuming that Seth Rollins, of course, is still the WWE champion going in, which we kind of think so, although we kind of debated.
Oh, he'll be the champion. They're not giving the belt to Orton.
Is Seth Rollins a transitional champion? I think he also will have the title at SummerSlam. And people picked Brock Lesnar to get the title shot. You would think... With him just signing that new contract, he's going to come back and headline SummerSlam.
Well, spoiler alert, because apparently the plan right now for Payback is going to be a triple threat match in the main event, Orton versus Rollins versus Reigns.
Oh, great.
So we shall see.
Yeah, that'll be what that next pay-per-view will be, three ways and four ways, because they don't have time to set anything else up.
Yep.
All gimmicks.
Yep.
Then again, this pay-per-view is all gimmicks.
honestly, I mean... This pay-per-view is all gimmicks, but it's some of the worst ones they can find.
They really are. Last man standing match was a big slow.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about Taz, and we did a couple polls at GirlWick.net regarding Taz. And we asked, do you enjoy Taz's color commentary? And apparently we're in the minority here, Frank. 60% said yes, and only 40% said no, so... Taz has his fans out there.
I'm not disputing the fact that Taz has his fans. Hey, listen, I was a huge Taz fan when the guy was in ECW before I knew and found out who Taz really is. I was a huge Taz fan, okay? I don't have a problem with Taz per se. I just don't care for his commentary. Bottom line.
I don't either.
The bottom line. And that's just how I feel about it. Some people can come on here and say, hey, we don't like Frank D on the podcast. Okay, that's your opinion.
That's your opinion.
That's your opinion, exactly.
Just like I stated in the last podcast, I didn't even like Taz in WWE with Michael Cole.
But I did.
I think Scott was pretty good. Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's their opinion. Exactly. I just never found Taz that entertaining to listen to on commentary.
No.
Now, as a promo guy in ECW, yeah, I liked his promo.
His promo guy in ECW, and as a wrestler in ECW, I thought he was good. I mean,
human suplex machine.
I mean, guys up there suplexing Bam Bam Bigelow around. I mean, come on, man. I mean, really. I'll give Taz all the credit in the world. I just can't get over that story about RVD slapping you like a bitch. I'm sorry, I can't.
And, speaking of the whip, WWE, we asked, would you like to see Taz return to WWE? And again, we're in the minority here, Frank. Two-thirds, 66% of Gerwig.net readers would like to see Taz return to the whip.
Well, I'll tell you what.
What's he going to do in the whip?
Well, I'll tell you what, man. We can if Taz can be in WWE, and if that prevents Byron Saxton from ever doing commentary ever again, I'm all for Taz going back.
That won't be the case because Taz is a color commentator.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, let's replace Booker T with Taz. We'll do that. I mean, you know what? I like Booker, but Booker, I'm not really feeling Booker T these days. I really don't like him on color commentary. So, you know, he Booker adds nothing to the show. He brings nothing to the table. He's worse than JBL, and JBL is pretty bad too.
Then again, Taz in that environment, is he going to succeed as well? Is he going to be watered down again when he goes? If he goes back to WWE, and they put him on SmackDown, say, you know, can he really flourish under those circumstances?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what, I'm pretty sure they would find something for Taz to do. I mean, I'm pretty sure they can come up with some ECW specials on the network that he can host with Joey Styles.
We've seen what Blue Meanie go back, Stevie Richards gone back to do some stuff with WWE for the ECW content. I could see that. I just don't really – I really don't see Taz returning to WWE.
I don't see that.
Maybe I'm in – I just don't. I mean, he had his run there and number of years as a color commentator. I just don't know what he could bring to the table at this point. And I, you know what? I'll agree with what you said as well. I like Booker T a lot more than I like Taz. If you just compare the two guys.
Yeah.
But right now, I would probably agree. Taz probably could do a better job than Booker T as a color commentator in WWE.
But see, the thing about it is that Booker T was never really, and this has nothing to do with him. I'm just pointing out a fact here. Booker T was never really that good of a promo guy to begin with. I mean, you put him on color commentary, and it shows all his weaknesses there. It's just like in moments where they call for excitement, he doesn't deliver that excitement.
Especially to be on a 3-hour show.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, different if it was like a 1-hour WWF Superstars or WWE Superstars, but for 3 hours out there,
yeah,
way overexposed.
But in reality, honestly, there's nothing for them to be excited about. So I can't blame it all on them. I mean, they've got constant Vince in your ear, Kevin Dunn in your ear, everybody in your ear telling you to say this, say that, say this, say that, plug this, plug that, hashtag this, hashtag that.
$9.99
this, Rocket Wrestling that, yeah. You know, all this different stuff that they have to do. I mean, honestly, how can you get excited to do that?
True, but again, as you said, Booker T was never cut out to be a color guy.
No, I was a huge Randy Savage fan, but Macho Man wasn't good on color commentary either.
Yeah, it was Roddy Piper, as we said before.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Certain guys just don't translate well as color commentators. I would think, you know, Taz to me falls in that category as well. Great promo guy. Color commentator, I think he's kind of bland.
Yeah, I mean, on the last show, Bobby Heenan, Jesse Ventura, stand-ups.
Man, there's nobody in those guys' categories.
Well, you know what? If I go one further, I can tell you another guy who I think would be actually good as a color commentator because of just what I've seen on the podcast. I think Steve Austin would probably be good at color commentating.
Yeah, it's just the idea that you're going to be out there every week for 3 hours a week.
Right.
That's tough to pull off.
Yeah, it is.
Steve Austin probably could.
Yeah, I think Steve Austin could. I mean,
he probably could.
When Austin was out there in character on commentating, I thought he was doing a pretty good job. I'll never forget. And this is kind of like one of those reminiscent kind of stories, so stick with me here. I remember back in the day on Shotgun Saturday Night, Austin was doing color commentary, and he was into it with Terry Funk. And that right there was just funny stuff.
Which you could... Well, wait, you can't check that on the network.
You're gonna plug it. You can't check it on the network. But if you want to watch it, I suggest you check it out on YouTube or check it out on Daily Motion. Go search for it.
Or maybe Frank D will post it at the Facebook discussion group.
If I can find it, yeah, we'll definitely do it. I post a lot of different things.
That's our thoughts on Taz and the situation. And one thing I want to do before we close is, I just watched, I know you haven't seen it yet, but there's a documentary on Netflix. It's about the Iron Sheik. I think it's just called The Sheik. And I just happened to find it. I was looking through, you know, new content on Netflix, and there it was. Like, oh, The Sheik. Very good documentary. It has The Rock. It has Mick Foley, Jim Ross, etc. Hacksaw Jim Duggan talking about that infamous arrest in the late 80s when they were working against each other's heel and babyface. Has Jake the Snake Roberts talking about the demons of the hard drugs, and really would recommend people checking it out. It's really good. I've watched it. I know Frankie's going to be watching it here pretty soon. If you have Netflix, I definitely recommend it. It's one of the better documentaries I've seen, and they tackle all the issues that he had. Problems with promoters, problems with alcohol and drugs, and his rants that he got in trouble for. And I mean, they covered the situation with his daughter being murdered, problems with his wife, marital situation. So I would definitely recommend you go out of your way to check that out on Netflix. And I know Frank, you will be checking out very soon.
Absolutely. I'm a big Iron Sheik fan, and not just so much of the Iron Sheik rants that we've all come to know, but just the guy as a performer. I mean, there was no bigger heel in the business than the Iron Sheik.
If you have Netflix, definitely check that out. And as always, we do appreciate your support here at the Gerwick Report podcast. This is episode 98. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, definitely tell a friend. Social media. We're on social media, as we talked about here. We're on Facebook. Check out our discussion group, Gerwick Report podcast. As Frank said, it's a closed group. Basically, you just ask to join, and Frank will link you in. Definitely check us out on Twitter. It's Real Frank DEE. For Frank's handle, I'm at Gerwick, GERWECK. I'm also at Steve Gerwick for the Fight Against the Real NWO, so definitely check me out there. Frank's talked about the YouTube page. We'd love to have you subscribe and check out all our different videos we've done, previous podcasts, and occasionally Frank D will actually throw up a video of a current topic. In fact, you just talked about WWE banning one of the moves, right?
Yeah, did the banning of the moves, the banning of the curb stomp. I did. I talked about Brock Lesnar re-signing with WWE when his story broke. So pretty much anytime there's a breaking story and say that, you know, it's being covered, I usually will throw up a video of just like that. So check it out, youtube.com/GerwickReportPodcast. Also, you can hit me up at GerwickReport@gmail.com if you have any comments or feedback about the Gerwick Report podcast, which you would like to hear us talk about. And if you want to shoot the shit, hit me up.
And as always, ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. Or if you're at ProWrestlingTees.com, just type in Gerwick in the search bar. It'll come up. We got four great T-shirts. We have the NWO-style T-shirt. We have the Raw Retro, the Retro Nitro, and just the standalone Gerwick.net T-shirt. As Frank D says, you support the podcast by ordering a T-shirt. And you also support Gerwick.net. We always do appreciate your support. We thank you for listening. For all your late-breaking wrestling news, definitely check out www.gerwick.net.
You can now listen to the
Gerwick Report podcast
on the free TuneIn Radio app, featuring over 100,000 real radio stations, over 4 million podcasts streaming live from every continent, offering unprecedented access to listen to anything, anywhere. TuneIn lets you listen to over 100,000 real radio stations and more than 4 million podcasts from every continent, 200,000 mobile downloads per day. Available on iPhone, iPad, Android, Android tablets, Windows 8, BlackBerry, Amazon Kindle. Available in over 200 branded products with millions of devices sold worldwide, including Samsung Smart TV, Roku, Sonos, Sony, Sony PlayStation, Amazon Echo, Panasonic Vieira TV, Logitech Squeezebox. TuneIn brings streaming radio to cars, including GM, Ford, BMW, Tesla, Mercedes-Benz, Volvo, Nissan, Fiat, and more.
We appreciate you listening to this edition of the Gerwick Report podcast. All Gerwick Report podcasts are available at www.gerwick.net. Also check out Gerwick.net for all your pro wrestling news, polls, pay-per-view results, TV recaps, WWE, TNA, and ROH talent rosters. Follow the Gerwick Report podcast on Twitter at Gerwick Report. Follow Frank D on Twitter at RealFrankDEE. Follow the Gerwick.net website at Gerwick. Also follow us on Facebook. Join our discussion group
On Facebook, simply search Gerwick Report Podcast. Like us on Facebook. Also, you can listen to previous editions of the GRP on TuneIn and at Stitcher. And if you enjoyed the podcast, definitely spread the word about the podcast. Tell your friends on Twitter, on Facebook, and get the word out about the GRP. We definitely would appreciate your support. Also, you can check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store. Go to ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick. Or while you're at ProWrestlingTees.com, just simply type in Gerwick. Stay tuned for the next edition of the Gerwick Report podcast.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.